across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
With the launch of Women's Aid Annual Impact Report, which highlights that there's a 43% increase in contacts with Women's Aid services. And I mean, that's a huge increase. And they're saying that the COVID-19 pandemic and the measures to combat it, being lockdown and that, have had unprecedented and exhausting impact on the victims of domestic violence and domestic abuse. Now, I am joined here this morning by Christina Santa Maria, who is head of services at our local domestic violence and refuge, Avenus, there on the Kilmore Road. Hello, Christina, how are you?
Hi, Aidan, how are you? Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Good to have you on to talk. Unfortunately, it's terrible news. With the figures, your own report actually states that there's been a 17% increase in the number of children accessing refuge and community supports there with you. So perhaps you could tell us how COVID and the lockdowns and how it has been affecting you, your team, and the services there.
Well, I'll talk mainly through, we have a good comprehensive insight into the impact of COVID through the pandemic, especially at the beginning of the lockdown when we first had to close services, reduce what we were able to kind of provide by way of interventions to women and children experiencing domestic violence. The health and disability is the area where we have seen quite an increase for our time during lockdown. In 2020, we saw a 120% increase in the helpline calls that we received. There were over 9,000 calls made to our service alone in Avenus. I know Emma Reedy, the CEO of Avenus, will be talking to you next week in more in-depth about the impact report that Women's Aid have just launched. But with regards to the impact of our own service, I suppose the main impact, and this happened earlier on, in the lockdown, and with every subsequent announcement of a lockdown, our helpline went eerily quiet. It was like if women and children living with domestic abuse had to take a deep breath in and hold themselves with the news of a new lockdown. And then there was this explosion of crisis, of helpline calls, of need for crisis interventions to access our outreach support, our refuge. And we had initially, because of lockdown, because of the way that we operate, to kind of reduce the number of units that we had open to families. But as a result of that, we looked for ways in which we could access other avenues in terms of our ability to respond to temporary accommodation. And we opened, we acquired a 14 unit, a temporary accommodation through the first part of the lockdown. So, over that period of time, we were able to accommodate 281 women and children, which was quite extraordinary, considering the level of crisis that was out there. And we were also, there were over 800 families that were supported through our community work. So overall, COVID, overall, the silence of those initial a lockdown announcement translated into what it was, a huge demand for our service throughout the pandemic, and it continues to be.
The figures that you were giving there, maybe you'd want to go through them again, but definitely the numbers to me just seem astronomical. They're just very, very high. What would it have been prior to lockdown down in a comparison?
Well, there were increases all across the board, and I think with even as the situation, you know, we are a very busy service generally. In any case, I think where we may have seen actually the increase more significantly in the helpline calls, as I mentioned, as a result of having had to kind of close some of the refuge units in the initial part of the lockdown weren't able to admit as many women and children. So what we saw was a kind of a huge increase of our outreach workers being accessed by families needing support throughout the lockdown in ways that, you know, may have been different from previous years because of the fact they couldn't access accommodation. So our outreach service would have been accessed, as I mentioned earlier, by over 800 families looking for support throughout the pandemic. We saw that 120% increase in the helpline calls, and I think that is quite significant of the need that we would have seen from previous years. And the reality of it is that some of our service provision that we're able to offer, like the drop-in services, the day caller services that we'd offer to families that cannot come to refuge, that cannot leave their homes for whatever reason, had to be closed down as well because of COVID, because the inability to do that face-to-face contact. So throughout the pandemic, not only women had to stay in, but they couldn't access those kind of brief interventions that, you know, as a drop-in service kind of come in a moment of crisis to the service. And I think that that was quite of the mark of COVID, that women became further imprisoned in their own realities.
Yes, of course. And then I suppose there was an increase because of men and women being at home more. So, you know, because we know that there's also abuse and violence on men from women, but it's a much smaller amount. But the fact that they were at home the whole time, you know, maybe the abuser would have been out at work and the victim would have got more, you know, a bit of leeway, a bit of peace.
The kids would have been in a school, they would have gotten that reprieve, they would have been access to different supports that were no longer available because a lot of the services providing those kind of supports had to close down or work remotely. There was no ability to kind of walk down the road and knock at a door because people, you know, all of those things were no longer available. Mm. And then women that live in a domestic abuse environment would have been under the watchful eye of the abuser on a 24/7 cycle for days on end. We had seen an increase in some of the physical assaults of women coming to our service, and some of them would have been quite serious. And also with the fact that digital abuse is a very much part of our reality, women were being tracked in different ways and forms. And let's not forget also that access and maintenance are also forms that abusers may utilize to conduct that abuse towards the women and the children. And what we saw through lockdown was, first of all, access being utilized as a tool to prevent women from having, you know, from having access to their children, and maintenance, not paying maintenance, and incurring poverty and serious financial penalties for women in domestic violence situations, even if they were not living with the abuser directly, that, you know, these were indirect ways of perpetrating and continuing the abuse. And obviously the courts were closed, and so there was a lack of access to the systems that would have been in place to redress those issues. So the issue with COVID, it was not just within the home, but it reverberated all around the systems that are in place in order to help women access some form of justice, access, maintenance, and so on.
Yes. This is it. It's the ripple effect that...
The ripple effect,
One place is closed. Now, you say that you had outreach services. So what were you doing then in that respect?
We had to kind of move from a face-to-face to remote, like most of the services, but we were able to provide intense support through the phone. We are very fortunate that we have an outreach team that it's very well trained, professional, and skilled in all forms of interventions. And so what we did, we're able to provide that support to women that would have been engaged with the outreach services for quite some time, but also those that were in temporary accommodation and needed that kind of extra support from kind of different to what we offer in the refuge model. So we were on the phone on a regular basis. We were able to provide Zoom interventions as well. So the online world of Zoom meetings and training that we deliver. We work a lot around psychoeducational programs. We were able to continue that thanks to the world of you know, the virtual world. So for those women that were in a different stage of their journey, were able to access those services in ways that probably enhance their ability to participate. So that was the upside of COVID in some ways, and we saw a great uptake of those programs and that kind of support intervention through the online world, because there were no, you know, things like childcare no longer became an issue, things like transport no longer was an issue either. So that's something that we saw, and the success of our outreach team was incredible throughout that time, and their involvement and their ability to respond to the needs at that point. It was very intense and very and taxing in a lot of ways, because, you know, it's that kind of phone. It's like you and I right now, thinking of the conversation we need to have on the phone. It requires more of your senses being focused, but they were able to provide that greatly.
And then for people who would normally have, you know, they were really badly abused and beaten and needed to get out of the house, were there anywhere that they could go? Was there anything that they could do through COVID?
Yeah, there was a lot of different interventions that we could do through COVID. So there is temporary accommodation that can be secured if there is no refuge accommodation available for some women. For those that may be in need of medical attention or require more support, obviously, it's not just Evenness that operates a refuge service. So I think at the end of the day, we are a network of services that are here to support women living with domestic abuse. And so we would, you know, if you phone Evenness and we don't have accommodation in our service, and this is operating through lockdown, the same way we will search and seek where there may be a position or a placement in any other service and accommodation. Sometimes we've had to access homeless accommodation, and that's the reality for women living with domestic violence, that as a result of the violence, they have to access homeless accommodation. They become homeless effectively as a result of the violence. And so we would do whatever we can in order to secure, especially in a situation of crisis, as you just described, to secure a safe space for women, and if they have children, to access.
Yes, yes. Now, your services are on the Kilmore Road. That's where your refuge centre is.
That's our office, yeah. Yes. We try to keep the location of refuge confidential.
Oh, right, I see. I'm very sorry. But what area then, what you're not just the local area, what area or catchment area would you be dealing with?
Yeah, so our office, our outreach office, as you rightly mentioned, is in the Kilmore Road. Our refuge, it's a location that we don't disclose for confidential reasons.
Right.
And we have different services on the North County Dublin area. We have a service in the Fingal Bay in the Balbriggan area as well. We have an office in Smithfield. And we will have an office in Sor. So we are located in different areas, especially our outreach team, in different areas of the North County Dublin area. But of course, we take referrals from all over, because in some cases women cannot remain in their local areas, and so they may seek accommodation or refuge interventions outside. So we will be working with other refuge services, other TV services, for them to be able to refer to us, and likewise for us to refer to them. So it's a network of domestic abuse services that work together in that sense. But even as operates in the North County Dublin area.
I see.
In the North Inner City and the North County Dublin, yeah.
Yes. And
so
now
we have a good presence.
You have, yes, yes. And how long have you been there?
Evenness has been around for over 30 years. So we have it's been quite a journey. We started in Ballymun and with one bedroom council flat, in order to kind of provide some kind of respite and care for women that were living in kind of domestic violence situations. And we have now increased 30 years later to this to a 10-unit refuge. We have an outreach service. We have a court accompaniment service. We have a training component to the work that we do. And we have expanded our interventions in order to ensure that, you know, when we meet a woman, we can travel that journey with her from the point of crisis to the point of recovery and everything in between.
It's fantastic that things have grown to facilitate, but it's terrible that we need so many services for this, you know, that it is still going on, that there's no way of stopping this, to me, pandemic.
And you're right. And I think, and what we have seen worryingly is changes of patterns of abuse. So while we are always thinking of domestic violence and abuse in the set of, in the setting of maybe a spouse, from one spouse to the other, what we have seen is an increase of familial abuse, children, adult children to their parents, young children to their parents, and just other members of the family. It doesn't have to be an intimate partner situation where we're seeing domestic abuse. And maybe because of lockdown and people having to kind of return home or stay at home with their parents, what we have seen is that kind of concerns around elder abuse, family abuse, brothers to sisters, and you know, mothers to children, you know, so mothers to daughters, for instance. We have had a few of those cases as well. So it's not just the intimate partner, even though it is the most common form of domestic abuse, but we have seen an increase in different patterns and within the familial setting.
I mean, we've seen ourselves on the news constantly. There's an increase in violence. I mean, anger, I think it's, and the youth seem angry, and there's so much violence out there itself that, you know, I don't know, we're all going to need therapy after this. You know, there's just this violence. And I mean, my sister was a teacher in a secondary school, and she said that the violence against the teachers, even, you know, from
it's increasing.
Yes, it's all increasing.
Well, we know that within domestic abuse situations, there will be different types of concerns. One of them would be intergenerational abuse, and a lot has to do with, you know, with trauma and how it's carried throughout generations. So, you know, it's slightly different to maybe some of the other violence that we are seeing as a sporadic violence, maybe as a response to the confinement of the lockdown. Certainly domestic violence has always existed before the lockdown. Domestic abuse has been a factor, unfortunately, of our society for a number of reasons, because of the constraints of this, of society, the belief around, you know, where women may belong within society, the patriarchal values that we may have inherited. But what we have seen is it's through the lockdown, a situation where women and children have been furthered abused by the lack of services, by the lack of access, by the fact that they were imprisoned in their own homes, or in homeless situations as a result of the violence. So it's slightly different to kind of all the violence that may be taking place, and there is no way out. And the thing is that it has remained largely invisible. We are beginning to talk more about it. We see violence or domestic abuse only we see a bruise or a broken arm, and yet, as the legislation has recognized in recent times, coercive control, emotional abuse, it's a big part of what domestic abuse entails. Isolation, they believe that this is all, you know, it may be all in your head, that this is something that you've done, and that you will not be believed. And how do you look for help when you think that you're not going to be believed? And obviously, you know, there are a number of issues that come with domestic abuse that are difficult to untangle sometimes. So the work is hard, and for a woman to ask for help, you know, we've seen that bravery time and time and time again, and we meet them in that journey.
Oh, yes. And as you say there, you know, mental and emotional abuse, you know, it is so, so difficult. And a lot of the times that's what it is. They're not being beaten. So because they can't show a bruise, then how do they explain to people the fear that they're living with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. It's a very difficult situation to be in.
And at the end of the day, one of the things that I want to highlight, if whoever is listening to us today, that if they know anybody that maybe they are concerned about living in a kind of a domestic abuse situation, and often we get, you know, we may get impatient with a woman that stays in that violence, and we leave those women behind, because it's like we cannot get annoyed, because it's like, well, why don't you leave? You know, why can't she leave? And it's a question that is time asked of women time and time again. And we never ask, you know, why does he abuse her? Why the abuse? So why we put it on her? And one of the things that is important is that if we are concerned about a woman and or a family living with domestic abuse, that we listen, we support, we go at their pace, not at the pace we think they should go. It's very difficult to leave for a number of reasons. And there is a lot of fears in leaving a domestic violence situation, no less the repercussion that may come from the abuser. The most dangerous time for a woman or her children is when she's thinking of leaving, or 6 months after she's left. That's where she's most at risk. So we never tell people to leave. We never tell women to leave, because it puts them in a dangerous space. What I'm asking for people that may be listening to us today, Adrian, is that listen, support. If you have any information that you may be able to give them where to go, maybe open that door for them to be able to access support that way. And I will give our helpline number, if that's okay.
Please, I was going to ask you that, because as I said, I was just about to say that people who, you know, you're saying leave, they don't want to leave their family home. They don't want to uproot and their poor children and whatever. It's difficult to leave, and maybe they would...
To go where? Mm, you know, to go where?
Exactly.
The question is to go where?
Yes.
Yeah.
So friends and family should be there to support them. And, you know, as you say, listen and be there for them. But please give us the helplines. I was going to call them out. But
thanks, I was going ahead there, wasn't I? Evenas 24, it's a 24/7 helpline, and the number is 01-867-0701. That's 01-867-0701, and it's a 24/7 helpline.
Very good. And there's also...
And we will answer if there's any friends or relatives, if people have questions and queries on what to do, if they're concerned, they can access the helpline too.
Very good. There's also the women's aid, which if they rang the women's aid, are they then directed to an area office or whatever, are they?
Yeah, so the women's aid don't offer refuge. So what they do is kind of contact other organisations to see...
Yes.
If there is refuge available, mm-hmm. So they tend to do some of that work that we also do as well in evenings. If there is no space within the refuge, we actually check other services as well, and we have that communication line with other services in the Greater Dublin area, and just to see who has what available. So we always have that information in place.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Christina, for coming on. And I know we're hoping to speak to your CEO with regards to the statistics
next
and
week,
the reports
yes.
next
yes.
week. Yes, yes. But you've been
Thank
very
you very
good.
Much for your time, and thanks so much for your call. It was a pleasure.
Not at all. Thank you. And take care.
Take care.
The best of luck with the work that you're doing. It's fantastic. God
Thank
bless.
Thank you. Keep safe in the meantime. Take care.
You too. Take care. God bless. What a lovely, lovely girl there. And as she says, the helpline, if anyone's listening and wants to contact, it's 01-867-0701.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.